Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to share the very best we can with you today. Good to see you, David.
I'm glad you included me.
Oh, my, I always have to include you. I think together we make an awesome team of trying to share the good news.
I want to be here with you for sure.
All right. I'm going to encourage our listeners to take good notes today. That is, if you were home. Now, if you're driving down the road, just listen carefully. However, if you're seated at home, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework here and there, a couple of scriptures that I want you to look up. They're powerful scriptures, and if we read all of them, and I read some of the short ones, a verse or two, I can't read them all to you, so I share with you where you might want to further educate yourself. We're going to talk about education today. Jesus educated his downline. Do you know what downline means, David?
No, I don't.
Neither did I until I started studying some of this material. Well, you will always remember what you teach. And someone has said that you don't learn anything while you talk. You only learn when you're listening. Well, that's inaccurate. Some of my greatest thoughts and ideas have surfaced while I was actually teaching others. It is very important that you mentor someone. You got to train people. You have to teach people. Teach them what you know, especially your downline. Now, your downline is any person who is carrying out instructions for you, your employees, your children, or whoever it is. If you're telling somebody what you want, you're describing to a contractor what the finished product is to look like, they have to understand clearly what you want in order for them to complete the task at hand. So that's your downline. That's people who you are mentoring, people you are teaching, people who you are sharing with. Every song needs a singer. Every achiever needs motivation. And every student needs a teacher. Well, you know, Jesus was a master teacher. He taught thousands at a time. Sometimes he sat with his 12 disciples and fed information to them. Well, we all understand that. He kept them motivated, influenced, and inspired. He taught them about prayer. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46 says that. He taught them about heaven. John chapter 14, verses 2, 3, and 4. You read that. He taught them about hell in Luke 16, verses 20 to 31. That's mine you might want to look up. I'll say it again. Luke 16, verses 20 to 31. He educated his staff on the many topics, including his death, his giving, and his relationships with other people. You will remember, you will mentally record all those things that you teach. Jesus taught in synagogues. We know that from Luke chapter 13, verse 10. He also taught in the village, Mark 6. Now, here is the point. None of us were born with this great knowledge. You become what you are, you discover what you know, and it took time, it took energy, and it took learning. Your staff will not know everything. They may not see what you see. They may not feel what you feel. They may not have discovered what you know. You must invest the time to nurture their vision. You have to encourage their knowledge. You have to reward what you want them to pursue. You need good people around you. You need inspired people around you. You need informed people around you. You see, Jesus educated his staff. Jesus constantly motivated. his downline by showing them the future of their present commitments. Take time to train others. That's what I'm trying to share with our listeners today. Jesus did that. David, in your years as a pastor, you had to mentor people, teach people, preach to people. You had to do a lot of that. So you had a lot of downline people in your life. Have you ever found that to be exceptionally rewarding?
Very much so. Very, very much so. I am still mentoring people. And I enjoy that. I have people coming into my house, and we go downstairs in my office, and they preach to me. Mm-hmm. And then I tell them what they're doing right or wrong. And, you know, that's you can't be thin-skinned if you're going to be coming to somebody's house and preach and let them critique you. I'm not sure that I would like that today, but I love to be taught. I love to learn something new. Mm-hmm. I think it's good when people find a friend who needs help, and you're willing to give it to them. The mm-hmm. young guy came to me and said, I want to become a preacher. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 40. In my mind, I said, whoa, you know, that's you're getting started late, but man, some people don't start preaching until they're 60, and then they're retired, and then they say, oh, now I'm going to take up preaching. But if you have not ever helped somebody, it's like playing golf. Mentor somebody playing golf, it's difficult because they can't swing like you, and the ball doesn't go where they want it to go, and I don't know how to move that club around. I'm an amateur golfer. I'm not a professional. I did when I pastored in Davenport. I had a professional golfer in my church. What was that? I found out that he was a golfer, and he came and said, Pastor, do you ever play golf? I said, yeah, I play golf. We had to play sometime. So we went out and played. After 9 holes, I said, hey, can you tell me if I'm doing anything wrong? He said, Dave, I want to tell you, you haven't done anything right yet. I didn't play very much with him. He was way too good. I mean, I could hit the ball as far as I could, thinking I'd done a great drive, and he'd blow me away 100 yards down the fairway. Oh, and how do you do that? I could never catch on. For a man who knew how to do that, you have to be a certain kind of person to be a mentor. Mm-hmm. You can turn people off, or you can't tell them how to do anything. And we've all been guilty of that. It's wonderful when you can find somebody that needs what you're saying. That's what it's like to preach. When you're preaching, you got a whole church full of 300-400 people, and they all can get something from you if you know how to talk, if you know how to say it right. They can get it from you. It's I'm learning. I'm still learning how to talk not too fast, not too loud, not too harsh. There's a lot to learning how to be in the pulpit, and you're getting your chance in the pulpit, and you're going to be mentoring a whole crowd instead of just one person. Mm-hmm. You're going to see how that fits. And you're going to be grateful for the things that you have learned that you now can help somebody with. And if you're sitting at home today and you don't know how to do something, get on the phone. There's somebody out there wanting to show you how for free. And you'll be blessed, and before long you'll know how to do that, and you'll be calling somebody else to help them. You know, you don't, just like this radio station, you don't learn how to be a radio man for the first week, I'll tell you. It's we've been at it, what, 5 years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we're
still learning.
We're just learning how to put it together.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more, David, and I like the way you put it. And I think your audience makes a difference. I was a hunter ed instructor. I taught those classes, the young people, how to go hunting. Mm-hmm. For 42 years I did that. And I was pleased with that. I always said it's the only thing I did well, so I had to keep doing it. That's why I kept doing it for a long time. But it's different when you're teaching someone from a mentoring standpoint that's supposed to impact their laws, their life. What you're teaching them could save their life or the lives of their family and friends that they might be hunting with. That's a different kind of mentoring than it is in teaching history seminars. My wife and I, to this day, still do history seminars from early Pennsylvania history. That's a different kind of mentoring. And the mentoring that you and I do behind the pulpit is a different kind of mentoring. So it depends on your audience. It depends on your subject material. No matter what it might be, the downline people are depending on you to guide them and to teach them in one way or the other. It's a fascinating subject to study.
Sure is. It's real fascinating. You know, you don't yes. understand. People yep. people in the audience don't understand pulpit, mm-hmm. pulpit etiquette, pulpit language, pulpit atmosphere. There's a lot of things that it's go different. Into a preacher's
yes.
sermon on Sunday morning when you just go there, you haven't even thought about anything for a whole week, and you're sitting there saying, but you don't know how hard that pastor is working.
That's exactly
to
right.
To talk to you.
Yes.
Mentoring is difficult.
It's
difficult.
Very,
it and is. Pastoring is difficult mm-hmm. these days. People are so thin-skinned that if they don't like you, they don't come back to your church.
Yeah. Well, that sort of moves right into the next thought process that I want to share with our listeners, because Jesus refused to be discouraged. You talked about discouraged when someone misjudges your motives when you're in the pulpit. Well, you think you and I have that problem? Jesus had the same problem. Everyone has been misjudged. When a minister speaks on prosperity, he risks being accused of greed. When he prays for the sick, he risks being called a fraud or a fake. Your own family may misjudge your motives. Your downline might misjudge your action. Your boss might misread you. Customers may doubt your sincerity. Don't be discouraged by all of that sort of thing. Take the time to discuss your position with those who appear genuinely sincere. Do not waste your time and energy on those who are merely stirring up conflict. Jesus was constantly misjudged by other people. Pharisees accused him of even being possessed by evil spirits. Remember all that? There's a reading in Matthew. It said something like, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebul, the prince of devils. Remember, that's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 says that. Let me make a few suggestions. When you speak to others, be concise. Be bold, but be very distinct in what you say. Do not leave room for misunderstanding when possible, because false accusations is the last stage before trouble can be come to your doorstep. Let me make another suggestion. Always be where you are. When you are in conversation with someone, totally focus on that conversation. Shut out everything else. When you totally focus on what you are saying and hearing, you do not have to reflect later on with any kind of regret about that conversation. This can prevent unnecessary misjudgment. That's what Jesus was talking about as well. Every extraordinary achiever has been misjudged to some degree. People laughed over the thought of a horseless carriage. Others sneered when the telephone was invented. Remember reading those kinds of stories? Mm-hmm. Your success is on the other hand of the scorn. And let's face it, and the false accusation should leave you. Jesus knew that. Be here now. That's what a good listener does. Be here now. I remember the first time I heard that phrase is when my daughter had an orientation program at one of the local colleges. And they were talking about a student's ability to learn. And the professor said, be here now. That's the best advice we can give you. When you are listening to someone for guidance, someone's mentoring you, you are receiving the information, you are listening to the pastor, or you are listening to David Colonin on the radio, and you are hoping to absorb some wisdom, listen carefully. carefully. Smart people listen well. Foolish people don't listen well. I'll tell you a quick story, Dave, and then I'll let you entertain the subject. I mentioned to you earlier I was a Hunter Ed student and Hunter Ed instructor, and that reminded me of a case where a gentleman that I worked with approached me. He said, "Hey, I want my son to take your course in the Hunter Ed class." He said, "Now, he has a little bit of trouble in the classroom. Would you kind of like, you know, see if you can't help encourage him and coach him a little bit and pay a little bit more attention to him and maybe some of the other students?" And I said, "Well, sure, I'll do the best I can to help him out. I don't want anyone to fail my class." Well, sure enough, we came into a class, and I don't remember the exact number, but there was something like 80 students in that classroom. And I met this young man who happened to be the son of my buddy, a coworker. And so I was going to live up to my word. I was going to try to mentor him as carefully as I possibly could. So when there was me speaking or other people speaking, where we were showing a video, sometimes I have a lot of short videos that I used in the class, or I would have a guest speaker to talk about a few minutes on various subjects, I would watch this young man, and you know something? He had an awful time listening. He would sit at the table and roll his pencil up and down the tabletop. He wasn't listening. He wasn't watching. He wasn't focused on anything we were doing. He was daydreaming about something. I have no idea what, of course. We all have a little bit of that in us. But when you keep watching this young man and he's doing those kinds of things repeatedly again and again and again, you say, "No, wait a minute." So I went to him at a break time in one of these sessions. Classes were usually 3 hours long, so and nobody likes to sit that long, let alone a youngster. So I took him outside and said, "Hey, you really have to stay focused on what's happening if you want to learn this material. It's important. You're going to have to pass a written examination at the end of this, and there's only so much I can do. All the information is covered in the classroom, but if you don't pay attention, you're not going to be able to pass." Oh, and he assured me that he was listening. I said, "Okay." Well, he took the test, and he failed miserably. He didn't just fail it. He failed big time. What are you going to do? It's a problem. People need to stay focused. That's what Jesus was talking about to his disciples. Be here now. Stay focused. Don't let somebody misjudge you or misinterpret your words or your actions. Stay focused. Speak clearly, concisely. Say what you mean what you say. Very, very valuable subject. David, I've been talking up a storm here. I know that you have a fountain of knowledge you'd like to share in the subject. Would you do so, please?
You have to be interested in the subject if you're going to be good at that. Even listening, learning to listen and learning to talk. I learned that early in life in something that would make me a success. I remember going to one of the islands in the West Indies, and the pastor and I went to just to see. We were going to hold a meeting in a church in the island, and we went a few days early so that we could look around. And we found a church that was it was the devil church. It was a church that was so different, and they could do spectacular things. They could do, it was an odd church. I mean, it was so odd that my wife and Holmes's wife, they were upset at us for wanting to go to a church where the devil was in charge. Because in Haiti, that's where it was. That's the whole nation that believes in devil worship. Haiti is 100% voodoo. When they get saved in the church, they will live a new way until it doesn't work, and then they will go back to their voodoo beliefs. Mm-hmm. And they told me that Haiti is 100%. They will listen, but if it doesn't work that same day, they'll go back to they'll go back to their voodoo and call upon their gods.
Wow.
And those were, we were in homes, and he said, we're going to the voodoo service tonight. I said, not me, I'm not going, I'm never going to go over there. Yeah. He said, yes, you are. He said, we're coming to this island to do something for the Lord. We need to know what our competition is.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, let's go. He said, why don't you make a movie out of it? They said, they're not going to let a camera in that place. And he said, they will. Well, we went over there, and we got in the service, and they were doing their thing. And there wasn't that many people there, so they quit the service early. And so it was not spectacular. And then we went and talked to the man who was the god. And he said, why don't you come tomorrow at noon and we'll have a private service just for you and your pastor. And so we said, wow, what's that going to cost? He said, oh, if you pay me $250, we'll do everything we do for everybody else. So Holmes brought out the $250, and we went back the next day, and they said, well, where do you want to start? And I said, well, I brought my camera. And I would like to take a film of this. He said, well, what are you going to do with it? That's I'm going to show it to my friends. Okay, he said, that's fine. So we started the service, and he was there to guide us. This is the three of us sitting in the service. They had about 50 people running the platform. And they brought out a set of drums, like six guys played six sets of drums all at the same time. And we said, well, why are they doing this? He said, well, it takes 30 minutes of this drumming to bring the spirits from Africa. I said, Holmes, we're going to stay here for 30 minutes and listen to those drums. He said, you'll be amazed. These guys are real drummers. They're not just any old buddy. They can play the drums. You will be mesmerized, and you will have the best concert you ever had. And so we went through that. We went through, they brought out people that did everything. They walked on hot coals. They did a whole bunch of stuff in front of us, and I'm rolling the camera the whole way. For an hour and a half, that's what it was, $250 for an hour and a half. And I rolled the camera. When we got all done, I was so done with that. All this magic. I mean, they could do things that was really unbelievable when the spirit came upon them. Couldn't do anything until the drums brought that spirit from Africa. And when they got to the service, then they really began to do stuff. And they had, when it was all over, I said to Holmes on the way out, I said, Holmes, don't ever bring me back here again. Yeah. I never want to go to another voodoo service. I don't care. If you bring a gun, I'm not going. That was it. I got one time, and that's it. Uh-huh. And we were so sick. I don't know what kind of sickness this was, but we weren't ourselves for about 3 days.
Wow.
We had sat in that service for an hour and a half, and it had enveloped us. And we just were lifted into their kind of a lifestyle. Wow. And I had the movie. It was over an hour long. I had the most spectacular movie that I made of things happening in a voodoo service where you just absolutely knew it was some special power that was not their own.
Oh, my. Did you ever watch the video?
I never watched it. I don't even know where it is today. I didn't eat for 3 days after that.
Wow.
And Holmes didn't either.
So it impacted you mentally and physically?
It impacted us like nothing else.
Wow.
And it was, we realized that the devil was alive.
The devil was there.
And
wow.
Well, you know, this.
Did they have you do anything? Like, did you walk on those hot coals yourself?
Are you kidding me?
No, I didn't think so.
No, no.
But I'm curious of what they did.
They walked on,
that impacted you so firmly.
They walked on those hot coals, didn't touch them, didn't phase them. They had, I didn't have time to think about this. I'm just coming off the
All right.
top of my head. If I think of it today, I'll talk about it.
Well, your point is very well taken, Dave. The whole idea is sincerity and don't doubt your mentor. Say what you mean what you say, and listen carefully and follow the positive lead of God our Savior, and avoid those the devil worshipers because they're out there. I thank you, Dave. We've exhausted our time. The engineer
is it going
saying,
already?
Yes,
we're done.
Saying that we have to say goodbye for now. Hey, but tomorrow we're going to come back again. Okay.
Okay.
I just have to get more of this. Your words are very encouraging, and I want to absorb all I can. Thank you, my friend. But for now, we have to say bye bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye bye.